Bibles, please. We'll get to the Bible study tonight. Turn with you, Will, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to look up several verses tonight and follow along. Talk about often, what is Wednesday night service nicknamed over the year? Prayer meeting. Yeah, prayer meeting. And it's sort of an unfortunate thing. I'm not going to talk about this long, but it's unfortunate. Churches have sort of deserted prayer meetings. They do anything and everything but pray. When I was a boy, our church absolutely had a wonderful prayer time. I'm glad our church has good prayer meeting. But when I went home about maybe 15 years ago, I went to go to prayer meeting in my home church. And I got there, and there was like five cars. And our church was not that small, but like five cars. And we were running late. We went in, and there was nobody in the auditorium. And we have basements up north, so we went down in the basement, and we could hear some people down there. And we said, "Where's the prayer meeting?" "Oh, we don't have prayer meeting tonight." "What do you?" "Oh, we're having," and they, I think it was ladies, were making quilts or something like that. It was a hobby club type of a thing that they had, and they said the ladies do that on this first Wednesday, then the men have something on the next Wednesday, and the teenagers do something on the third Wednesday, and somebody else does something on the fourth Wednesday. And whenever there's a fifth Wednesday, they have a prayer meeting. And I thought, boy, did you miss your emphasis. Prayer is the powerhouse for Christians. You can't read in the scripture without the Lord saying that we need to humbly come and bow before him. And when we pray, I want you to engage your mind and help me with this. What is prayer? What are we doing when we pray? There's lots of things we could answer that, but help me to define what prayer is, Mary. Okay, we're talking and communicating with God, our heart, our mind, our needs. Somebody else, that's a good answer. Yes, Laura. We're praising him. We're adoring our God, telling him thank you and that kind of stuff and for who he is and just spending time worshiping him. Okay, what else is prayer? So we're, okay, it's a beautiful smell to God, isn't it? That you come into his presence or spending time in his presence. What else? Okay, we're interceding for people and for situations. Maybe you have somebody that doesn't know the Lord or they've got themselves away from God. And you're sort of, a lot of situations in the Bible, you're going for a friend or somebody you care for and you're taking their need before God. Somebody else, Dr. Hodges. Okay, thanking God for not only who he is, but for all the good things that he's done for us. Let's describe it a little bit more, okay? These are all true. These are all good things. Yes, we are prostrating ourselves before God, and he's the boss, and we're just bringing ourselves into his presence and yielding to him. A couple more. We're asking God maybe for wisdom and leadership and guidance. And James tells us, chapter 1, if you don't have wisdom, let him ask of God and he'll give it to you. Let's get one more. That's a lot more things about prayer. Yes, Susan. All right, we're dealing with things that are between us and God. So we're trying to get all the obstacles. We don't have to get saved over and over again, but we do get wedges between us and our God. So this is what prayer is, and we come to him. I find many times newer Christians, they're a little bit leery about prayer because they just haven't practiced it. What are some things that people maybe think of prayer wrongly that have grown up not in maybe a church where they taught prayer? What are some misunderstandings about prayer? Yes, sir. Yeah, Jose. I mean, Sergio. Okay, they think they can manipulate God. Yeah, I can get, if I get God and put him in a bind, he has to do, I can make him do stuff for me. Okay, I'd be one, that's a false thing. Yes, they think you have to read some sort of a form prayer. And matter of fact, even in good churches, it used to be common in the back of hymn books. They had prayers, the church would pray together, and there's nothing wrong with a church saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom." But they think they have to have a form that somebody wrote out, okay? What's another thing that maybe is... Okay. Okay. God won't hear you unless you're perfect. Okay. What else? Some people have the idea that if I don't talk to God in good times, I can't talk to him in hard times. So who am I when I'm in trouble to come to God because I didn't have time for him when I wasn't in trouble? So a lot of misconceptions. The biggest misconception some church backgrounds teach that you can't go directly to God. What do they teach? You have to go through an individual like a priest or something, but you don't have the right to go directly to God. You got to go to the pastor. You have to go to their spiritual leader, confess your sins and talk to him, but you don't have the right to talk to God. So often when people come and get saved, they don't really understand what prayer is. They don't understand it is the right of the believer. It tells us in the Bible that he is our mediator between God and man to bring us to himself. And that as an individual, I can go directly to God and I know that God hears me. Yes, Laura? Boldly. Yes, Hebrews chapter 4. That's right. Going boldly to the throne of grace. And there's a lot of prayers like that. But a lot of times people don't realize this is a privilege. I started to say it right, but it's a privilege. And does God want us to pray? Does he want us to talk to him? Good times, hard times? He loves our presence. Somebody said he sort of bottles up our prayers, doesn't he? Like an incense before him. So with that in mind, just defining what prayer is, let's talk about some things about prayer. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I want you to look at verse 5. And we're going to look at a lot of scriptures, so try to stay up with me, please. Verse 5. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent over it for a time, that ye may give yourselves to prayer and fasting. Notice there's two things we lift out of there, that you give yourselves to prayer and fasting. When we pray, there needs to be a commitment to regular prayer. Do you pray regularly? Keep your finger, look over at 1 Thessalonians, please, chapter 5, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. One of the shorter verses on prayer in the Bible, verse 17. If you want to impress somebody, memorize these like 6 verses in a row. They're really short. I memorized 7 verses. Okay. But 1 Thessalonians 5:17, let's say it together. Ready, get set, go. Pray without ceasing. Now, does that take a lot of theological understanding to understand? Pray without ceasing. We ought to be in a continual attitude of prayer, but we need to take everything that we do to the Lord. Go over to the book of James for just a moment, please. The book of James, just a few books over. Look at chapter 4. We're talking about talking to God about everything all the time. So we take our things to him with prayer and fasting. That's pretty deep commitment, isn't it, to fast? And then we go to God without ceasing. Now look at James chapter 4. Look, if you will, at verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go to such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. We need to talk to God about everything we do every day. We start our day in prayer, we live our day in prayer, we end our day in prayer. As we go along, we are talking to God. As you develop, and I believe probably this group is well on its way towards that, but as you walk through life, it's as if the Lord Jesus physically, or God physically, and we know he is because he's omnipresent, but we learn to talk to him just like he's right there. And we just develop the presence of God. and praying to Him. We're committed to talk to Him. And as you go along, you're saying, God, would you help me? God, show me the way. God, help me with this. And you learn to just be committed to talking to God about everything, praying without ceasing, praying with an attitude of commitment. So our first thought that we're developing here, prayer, there needs to be a commitment to this being an integral part of our life. Prayer needs to come to a point almost like breathing. How many of you thought about breathing since you've been here? It's just natural. I know it's part of your automatic system that automatically happens, but I would say that prayer needs to come to that in the Christian's life, that our talking to God is just as natural as I take another breath. That He's there, I need His help, I need His guidance, I'm frustrated, Lord, help me. Lord, I need wisdom. Lord, I need strength, I need power. And we're committed that we can't do it without the oxygen of prayer. Your Bible study would fit in that same category, wouldn't it? But we really develop our commitment. Turn over to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Look at verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Well, that's a very familiar psalm, isn't it? Enter in His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. We need to give ourselves to prayer. Notice there, we enter into it. We come in with it. We're thankful. We bless Him continually. We're loving the Lord. Look over at chapter 109, same psalm, Psalm 109. Look at verse 4. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. Do you spend time in prayer? Do you give that a high priority in your life? That's a choice. I would say one of the real faults in the modern church is that we give ourselves to singing, we give ourselves to building buildings, we give ourselves to a lot of praise services, but we cut the prayer meeting. We ought to give ourselves to prayer first. It ought to be that much of a priority in our life. Now, that's criticizing the church. How about all during the week? Start your day. Have a commitment to pray. A lot of you have secular, regular working jobs. Do you spend some time in prayer? How many of you get a lunch break? Take a sliver of that and give it to God in prayer. You get a morning coffee break. You get an afternoon break. You're frustrated on the way home on I-10. Pray. Give yourself to prayer. I know many people that over the years they've told me that they have little prayer, just little cards. They have prayer requests. And instead of being frustrated, they either take out these cards that are verses they're working on memorizing, or they take out a card and they begin to pray for a prayer request. That's a good way to direct your heart. Give yourself to prayer. What a sad thing that we would go days, and we really haven't practiced the presence of prayer. Are you committed to a prayer life? Developing your prayer life. Read books on prayer. Who are some of the greater men that we could read on prayer? E.M. Bounds is probably one of the ones that you think of. There are a lot of good men like that. Get these books. See how these men developed a prayer life. John R. Rice was a great prayer warrior. Read these men. Read how their life was changed by prayer. In Acts chapter 6, verse 4, the apostles. Why were the deacon boards formed? Somebody tell me. Patrick, you is one of those things. You're on one of our board. Why were the deacons formed in a church? And prayer. Let's go over there and look. Acts chapter 6. Look over at Acts chapter 6. You're exactly right, Patrick. I was just trying to get the word prayer out of you. Okay. Do you want your pastor to pray? You need to give him a little time so he has a break from mowing the lawn, putting the roof on the building. You understand what I mean? And It's good that a pastor should be willing to do any of that stuff. He's not better than anybody else. But he needs to have time to emphasize the most important part of his calling. Look at chapter 6, verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually. Wow. These were the first 12 apostles. We want to give ourselves how much to prayer? Continually. Did they understand the importance of it? To prayer and to the ministry of the word. What should you desire to see our spiritual leaders be able to be free to do? To pray and study their Bible so they have the power of God on their lives. Is that just for pastors and deacons? That should be for everybody. Rearrange your life. Make a commitment. And you know, I watch people make a commitment. Over in this, we have a public school over here, and often the fields, the football field, the track, the baseball diamond are used by the community. And I'm glad they're able to use them. But you know, some people, it's amazing. I mean, for like 3 months in a row, those little boys, they never miss Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. They're out there, cold and hot and all the rest. And I often think when they're wanting to use our church parking lot on Wednesday night and there's like 25 cars down, I'm frustrated a little bit that they're using our spaces. And I think, what happened to our American Christian society that Wednesday night was always prayer meeting night? Let me tell you how much has changed since I've been a pastor. When I first went into the ministry 40-some years ago, I was in Indiana. Now, in that area, they had prayer meeting on Thursday nights. It's just a long story why everybody had them on Thursday nights. Do you know the public school system and anybody else with ball games, football, there was never practices ever on Thursday night. The whole community knew that that was God's night. It's not even a thought anymore. Do you realize they never gave a State of the Union? They never gave anything on Wednesday night because there would be nobody home to hear it. Now, it doesn't even occur to them that if we do something on Wednesday night, the Christians are all going to be over at the church. Whose fault is that? Our societies or the Christians? It's the Christians. I'm trying to make a point to us. We need to make a commitment to prayer. Is it wrong to miss prayer meeting? No. But it's pretty obvious when Christians are committed to prayer, the things that are involved with that, family prayer, personal prayer, church prayer meeting, they become way up on our schedule. We're committed to praying. And I said this Sunday, every inch that we take from the devil, I really believe it's taken not running, it's taken on our knees. The devil's a powerful foe. And we need to be men, women of prayer, practicing the power and the connection with God on a like breathing oxygen type basis. All right, let's turn to Romans chapter 12. We'll take a second point. That was talking about committing ourselves to prayer. Romans chapter 12, please. So if you were putting a report card on yourself, how committed are you to your prayer life? What priority does it have in your life? Romans chapter 12, look at verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant. What do you think instant means? Somebody help me. Continuing instant in prayer. Fred. In the moment, yes, you're ready to pray about it. Continuing, so you take the idea, ready at any second. I'm going to use C's tonight. First is our commitment. Here's our constancy. That it's constantly what we do, that we pray. There's a constant. Let's look at a few more verses. I'm going to split these up to save us a little time tonight. Aaron, would you look up Luke 18:1? Brother Christian, could you look up Acts 12:5? Acts 12:5. Fred, way back there. Luke 22:44. Now, you can write these down if you're taking notes tonight. If you want to turn there, you can, but you might not catch up with them. When you read these, read them very slow, Aaron, so we can absorb the words and see what it means. Luke 18:1, please. right, men ought always to pray. There's our constancy. And not to faint. That's pretty obvious what it means. It means don't quit. Don't sort of give up on it. Don't just forget about it. Don't let it slide away. Have you ever made purposes in your life and you started out real good, but you sort of faded? That's usually everybody after January 1st when you make all kinds of commitments, right? But you just go out and, you know, how many people join a fitness club January 1st? And they're out there for about 3 weeks, if that long. And, you know, and then they just begin to miss a few days. And by the middle of February, they say, why did I take that membership out and waste? I signed a 2-year contract. What an idiot I was, you know, to do that. But somewhere we faint. Doesn't mean you pass out. Just means you sort of fade. So men ought always to pray and not to just sort of fade away. Does your prayer life tend to fade away sometimes? Okay, this group's back way too early. Fred, tell them we want them to, they've got another 25 minutes to be out. They just came back too early. Not supposed to be back till 9:45. I don't think I communicated that well to them. And they've got a whole side to do up here. All right. So we have a constancy in prayer. So we talk about we ought not to fade away in our prayer. So the question was, does your prayer life tend to fade away? You get stirred up like a message like this. You do well for a week or two. The next thing you know, you're just sort of tipping the Lord with your prayer once in a while when you have a need. Let's look at another verse. It was Acts 12:5. Could you want to turn so they can hear you this way? Okay, what do you think made the church pray without ceasing? Read that again and for them. Okay, so what motivated them to pray? He was in prison. It was a huge need. What tends to happen after we get that prayer request? We just forget to pray them. We just forget God. Sometimes that makes people feel guilty. We already talked about that. Like, I only pray when I have super needs. But Christians, we need to go to God and not faint. And it needs to be a continual prayer about everything, not just big things. Not just big things. Let's look at another verse, Fred. You had Luke 22:44. All right, so here's our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going through a valley. If anything, when we're under pressure, we've had a constant prayer life, but there's just more earnestness to it. So is it okay when we're in a crisis to spend more time in prayer and be more motivated? Yes. But let's be careful. That's not the only time we are motivated. So we want to talk about our prayer having a consistent, or we want to talk about it having a constancy in our prayer. How consistent is your commitment to prayer? Look, if you will, we'll look at some more verses. Let's see. Jalen, put you to busy. Matthew 17:21. Brother Jim, would you look up James 5:15? I figured Jim 5:15 would work out for you. And the next one is 5:16, so you might as well look them both up together. All right. Our third point tonight is another C. There are some conditions that can multiply our prayer. There are some conditions that can multiply our prayer. Let's start the first one, please. Okay, so what multiplied prayer in that verse? Fasting. Now, often in our, quote, modern church, we don't preach a lot on fasting. So what is fasting? Let's just talk about that a little bit. Is it right to fast? Is it a good thing to fast? There have been several times over the years I've called our church to fast over things. So what is fasting? Somebody help me explain that a little bit. What is fasting? It's not being slow? Okay. What is fasting? Yes. Okay. To go without. And what do people usually think of most often to go without? food, or maybe TV, okay, that's but food is probably the biggest one they think of. Or maybe I'm going to do away with all my desserts, or I'm going to do away with certain things for a period of time in our life. So we go without it. But what's the purpose of it? Is it like, okay, God's impressed that I'm not eating, or I'm not watching TV, or I'm not reading the sports newspaper, or something like that. Okay, it's allowing us to focus our attention and our heart on prayer. And there's a lot of ways to fast, but the whole purpose of the fasting is to sort of rivet our heart, because there's something really important going on in our life, and we just really want to talk with God in earnest about this matter. So I would encourage you to learn to fast before the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to develop that a lot more. If you're interested, you say, it sort of intrigues me. I've never really fasted. What is a way to do it? Come and talk to me. We'll talk about some more. But James chapter 5 would be our next multiplier to prayer. All right, read just the first part of verse 15 again. This is our first point.
The prayer of faith shall save the sick.
Let's stop there. What's the first multiplier in prayer there? Faith. What's a prayer of faith? What's a prayer of faith? Yeah. You claim the promise of God. You put it in God's hand. You know what's right, best. You just trust God. It's just, God, I trust you to handle the circumstance, and you go to sleep. Or you proceed on, your worry ends, you're trusting the Lord. I've got a couple things this summer I've been working on, some different things to settle, and I have to confess that some days I have real faith, and then my flesh sort of takes it off the altar. Do you do that? And I tell my wife, I said, you know, here I preach this, but I tell you, this little situation's got me thinking, and I have to say, Lord, by faith, I know you're good, I know you're omnipotent, omniscient, and all the different things. And so, faith in God, as if it were already done, you just trust God, all right? We could go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things not. Let's go there. My mind just went crazy. I should be able to quote that easily. Hebrews, if you don't have this marked, you ought to have this verse marked. Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I couldn't get that part out. Fred, if they're not going to go out and knock on doors, tell them to come on in and get their hearts right with Bible study. Okay? Okay. You guys are back 25 minutes early. I told him to have you go and finish, but just come on up. Okay. I guess I told Mr. Johnson and not you guys. Okay. Come on up. Come on. Don't sit back in the back sliding rows. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, Jeremy. There we go. Hebrews 11, 1, please. Now, faith, it on this side, guys, everyone else is sitting over here except for she got in trouble. Now, faith is the substance of things, what? The evidence of things not seen. Faith, what is the key there in that first five words? Faith is what? Substance. Faith as if that thing that's not there is actually substance. Faith is the evidence of things you can't see. So what is the multiplier of faith of prayer we're talking about? Faith as if it were already substance, as if there were my believing and trusting God, as there, you could evidently see it already there. And Christians, what multiplies then as we see God answer prayer after prayer that develops us to trust God quicker and quicker and quicker about bigger and harder things? I wish I had time tonight, we'd stop and do you remember some of the first things you trusted God with and talked to Him about? It seemed absolutely impossible. And so learning to trust God without like any reservation. And I already confessed, that takes, you have to reassert that regularly, right? So now, verse 16 again, Brother Byerly, James chapter 5, verse 6. Let's just all turn there. Maybe this might be easier. We're close to James. James chapter 5, because there's like three things in chapter 5, verse 16. We looked at verse 5, James 5, 15. The prayer of faith shall save. Now look at verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray. So what's the multiplier there that will multiply our prayer? Somebody raise their hand. I know Dr. Hodges knows. I want the rest of you to think. Okay. What will multiply your prayer in verse 16? Confession of what? Of our sins. Lord, I've done wrong. These are things in my life. Getting squared up with God. Look a little further. There's another thing. Pray one for another. What else will multiply our prayers? People praying with us and for us. You have some needs in your life. Develop a prayer partner. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but do you have a prayer partner? Do you have somebody that you can go to regularly when you need to have prayer? Develop, you know, could I suggest you one of your strongest opportunities for prayer? Your husband or wife. If you've got a husband or a wife that knows Christ, really learn to pray together. Learn, and there's nothing wrong with a lady having another lady, a man having another man, but if you've got a godly wife or husband, be prayer partners about things. Let's look what else is in that verse. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fervent prayer. That's not lay me, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Fervent prayer is like a really earnest. Fervent means fire. Lord, this is urgent. You're focused prayer. This multiplies our prayer when we're focused. It's not some little list we're praying down. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, and here's somebody that's practicing a godly walk, will multiply our prayer. So we see these different things, these conditions, fasting and having faith, the effectualness, the fervency, the righteousness of a person's life multiplies your prayers. A church can go regularly to prayer meeting, but they're not very fervent. They're just praying over lists that they're not even thinking about. They're living in dirty, rotten sin. Do you see how powerless that prayer is? Even if it is constant, we need to be very much. Let's look at Job. Let's see. Fred, could I get you to look up Job for me, 16:17? Brother Raul, Matthew 23:14. And let's see who else I can pick on here. Oh, let's see. Patrick, would you look up Matthew 6? Verse 5, 6, 7, 8. There's several verses there. We'll probably all turn with you. Job 16. Here we're going to talk about what is the cause, the reason. We'll put it as a C, the cause of our prayer. Do you notice he has pure motives? Should we be praying to get and manipulate God? No. Our prayer is pure. Our prayer is pure. Do I pray prayers to get even with my friends and my enemies? Not necessarily. My prayer is pure. My prayer is pure. Look at the next one. Matthew 23:14. Notice he says, for pretense, you make long prayer. Brother, I want you to be in the lobby, if you will. for pretense they make long prayers. So what is the problem here? They pretend. The reason for their long prayers is not their righteous cause. What is their prayer for? Others to be seen. I have a story that Mrs. Capizzo and I have talked about over the years. Her oldest son came to prayer meeting. And it was our church was just getting started. We maybe a couple years old. And there was just a couple little kids and teenagers and a few handful of men at prayer meeting. The men went over, about four of us men were praying, and her son was the only one old enough to come and pray with the men. And as we prayed around, you ever prayed with men? They pray forever. If you're a kid, it seems like they never quit praying. So we were praying around, and everyone's going, amen, that's right, we agree with that. Well, he sort of got in the spirit of that thing, and as he started to pray, he was just really praying up a storm. They were riding home. Mrs. Capizzo, he said, hey, Mom, I did really good tonight. I got 45 amens. You know, the truth is sometimes our prayer is not aimed at God. It's aimed at impressing people. I had a man, this has been 25, 30 years ago, I called on him for prayer in a church service. I hadn't called on him in a long time. I don't know why, no particular reason. And afterwards he said, I'm glad you called on me because I've been practicing on a prayer so people would be impressed. I don't think he had any idea what he was saying about that. We don't pray to stand up and impress everybody at church when we're asked to pray. Here he talks about our cause is pure. Our prayers are to God. And so we want to make sure that our cause is not the cause of other people. It's our cause. It's a righteous cause to a righteous God. We have one more verse that we looked up underneath that. Who had Matthew 6? Okay. Everybody turn to Matthew 6 because this is a fairly long, Matthew 6, verse 5. Let them catch up with you here. Matthew 6, verse 5. He's going to read about four or five verses. We want to see about our cause here. Okay, want to go ahead and start? That's good enough right there. So what did he call, go back in verse 5, what did he call these people, these Pharisees? He called them hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? Somebody that's certain, yeah. So he's standing up and he's making these long prayers, even having people blowing trumpets. Pastor Butts is going to pray, everybody come and see Pastor, his eloquent prayers. It was all, he said, you have your reward. That's all you're going to get. Yay, good prayer. But God's not impressed. God's not impressed. Notice what he says in the next verse. He says, our prayers should be like this. When you pray, go into your closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And the one that hears in secret will open you, will pray, answer you openly. So our cause is a pure cause. It's not for the praise of men. I'm just going to give you the last one because people are starting to come back. The last one's our confidence in prayer. Let me read the verses a little bit to you. Matthew 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it might be given unto you. It shall be given unto you. That's right. In John chapter 5, he says the effectual fervent prayer availeth much. Avails much means gets the job done. Jeremiah 33:3 is one of my favorite verses on prayer. If you know it, say it with me. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. What are those three things? Seek, knock, and ask. You will get your prayers. Prayer avails. Call, and I will answer. Does our God want us to come regularly? He wants us to. So tonight, not a new subject, but you know, I call on this to prayer. This next week, we've got a big cause in front of us, don't we? And I call the church to prayer. Maybe somebody would consider fasting some this week for Bible time. Don't fade away and faint. Let's ask God to do some. You say, I'm not the Bible story teacher. I'm not the missionary story teacher. I'm not the van driver. That's all right. Your effort in joining and linking in prayer is just as powerful. I call you to pray for neighborhood Bible time. Let's bow our heads, please.